In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading from Luke, the 23rd chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Adam, it's 8 o'clock. These are the very words I used to hear from my parents every Sunday while growing up. What's so special about 8 o'clock on a Sunday evening? Columbo. How many of you have ever seen that television program? It is a wonderful murdering mystery program. You see, it always started out the same way. A crime was committed right from the beginning. You saw the killer carefully execute his plan. And then throughout the rest of the show, you would watch Columbo question people and do his detective work until he found out who was responsible. And in the end, the criminal was always arrested. But you know what the greatest part of Columbo was for me? It was knowing how the story would end. From the beginning of the television program, you always knew how the story would end. You always knew the end of the story. The end of the story. That's what we hear about in today's gospel reading, the last Sunday of the church year, Christ the King Sunday. It's the story of the Christian life. Our readings and worship service all focus on the end of the story. And what's the end of the story? The last day, the resurrection day, the day when all of God's promises are fulfilled, the day when the trumpet sounds and Jesus returns. The day when you and I and all other believers in Christ will enter into our final glory, eternal life with Christ forever. And that ending is glorious. And it is the end of the story. That's something that you and I have to look forward to. It's something that you and I have known about from the beginning of our Christian life. We've known about the end of the story ever since we heard those words. God's words spoken over us and his cross placed upon our foreheads and on our hearts. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We've known about the end of the story ever since our parents and our Sunday school teachers and our pastors have told us about God's love for us in Jesus Christ. You and I have known about the end of the story ever since we were first given the gift of faith by the Holy Spirit. By faith, we know how the story ends. The trumpet will sound. Jesus will come back. He will raise our bodies from the dead. And you and I, and all who believe in Christ as their Lord and Savior, will be with him in paradise. No weeping, no mourning, no sorrow, no pain. The old passed away, the new has come. No earthquakes, no tornadoes, no tsunamis, no sin, no death. Just peace and life. There's just one problem. The story hasn't ended yet. We still live in this world. And in this world, there are many things that can cause us to doubt that the story is actually going to end that way. The end of the story, the resurrection, is constantly mocked, made fun of, and ridiculed. Time itself mocks the end of the story, saying, what, it's been some 2,000 years since Jesus was here on earth? How can you believe that Jesus is coming back? It's been so long. Perhaps he's forgotten about you. Perhaps he's forsaken you. And what's more, how can you even say that there is an end? I mean, have you ever seen the end of the world? I mean, turn on the news and look how bad it is. Theft and murder and adultery, covetous, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander and pride. It's all around you. And worst yet, it's all inside of you. And it's never going to change. It's never going to end. You and I might as well wisen up and come to grips with reality. This life is all that there is. And you need to make the most of it. There's a Latin phrase that sums up this thought very nicely. Carpe diem. Seize the day. Make the most of this life right now, because that's all there is. Time itself constantly mocks, makes us doubt the end of the story, the resurrection. But time itself is not the only thing that mocks and makes us doubt the end of the story. Death does too. Death constantly mocks the end of the story as we look into the mirror and we see the wrinkles in our faces, the gray hairs on our heads. We feel the aches and pains in our bodies. We stand at the foot of our beloved's hospital bed and we watch that disease, that illness, that consequence of sin eat away at their mortal body until there is no life left in them. We stand at the head of a casket. We lean over this box of death. And our lips connect. They begin to press in on the forehead or cheek of our loved one. Reality cuts like a hot knife through butter. And we instantly, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, know that not only is their reality before us, but ours is as well. Eventually our bodies will stop breathing, our hearts will stop beating, our eyelids will be closed in death, and we will be confined to our own box of death and lowered into the ground to endure dust, darkness, dirt, and decay. Death mocks the end of the story, saying, "I'm it! I'm all you have to look forward to. I'm going to take you away from everyone you love and everyone you care about. There's nothing left for you." Yes, even death mocks and makes us doubt the end of the story, the resurrection. And if doubting and mocking the end of the story isn't bad enough, in our gospel reading for today, we hear about the one who is the end of the story, the one who is the resurrection and the life, being mocked. Jesus, in our gospel reading for today, is mocked. Verse 34, we hear the soldiers mock Jesus, those who cast lots to divide his garment. The soldiers don't even care what happens to him. He's just another criminal. They don't hear him. They don't notice him. They don't care about him. They're too busy gambling for his clothes. In verse 35, the Jewish leaders are mocking Jesus, saying, "He saved himself. Let him save others. If he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The Jewish leaders do not believe Jesus is who he says that he is. They mock him. "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." In verse 38, we are told that there's a sign that's put over Jesus' head. A sign that mocks him and shows that people doubt him. The sign reads, "The King of the Jews." This is the ultimate sign of doubt and mocking. The sign is basically saying, "Here is your king. Look at him now, hanging on the cross. Some king he is. He can't even save himself." It seems like everyone and everything is mocking and doubting Jesus. Every one of the criminals, even one of the criminals rather, hanging there on the cross next to Jesus, mocks and doubts him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But that's not the end of the story. Like I said at the start of the sermon, you and I both know how this story ends. We're not the only ones who know that. There's someone else who knows that. Someone else from this morning's gospel reading who knows that death is not the end of the story. We hear it in verse 40. The other thief on the cross, the second criminal, being crucified, hears the words of the first criminal and cries out in disgust, "Don't you fear God, since we are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he looks at Jesus and he utters these words, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." By faith, the criminal knows that death is not the end of the story. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Later on, Jesus breathes his last. His heart stops beating. His eyes are closed and he is placed in a tomb to suffer the curse of Adam. "Dust you are, to dust shall you return." Yes, Jesus bows his head in death and he dies for each one of us. For you. He has taken your sin. He has taken your pain, endured your suffering, and received your punishment for sin. The wages of sin is death, and now his lifeless body has been concealed in the tomb and in the valley of the shadow of death. But brothers and sisters in Christ, that's not how the story ends. For on the third day, when the women arrive at the tomb on Easter morning, there is no darkness, there is no dirt, there is no decay. Alleluia, Christ is risen. And the sights and the sounds of the resurrection fill the morning air and echo throughout all of Jerusalem. "It's true! The Lord is risen and appeared to Simon," Cleopas cries. "Jesus appears, 'Peace be with you,' he says. 'Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have.' Thomas cries out, 'My Lord and my God.' And death has no mastery over Jesus. His flesh has been raised imperishable. The death he died to sin once for all, once for you. And the life he lives cannot be taken by death, nor given to death again. It is finished. Death is broken. Jesus lives. And whoever believes in him, even though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in him will never die. Sure, there will come a time when our bodies will stop breathing and our hearts will stop beating. Sure, death will come and mock us, saying, 'I'm all that there is, I'm it.' But when that happens, Jesus will come to you and all who believe in him and speak these words, 'Today, you will be with me in paradise.' You see, death is not the end of the story. And what's more, neither is being with Jesus the moment you die. By faith, you and I know how this story ends. The story ends with the last day, the day of resurrection, the sounding of the trumpet, with our Lord descending and raising our bodies from the dust and the ashes, joining them to our souls, and in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the trumpet, we shall receive paradise. 'Behold, the day is coming, declares the Lord, when I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. I will transform your lowly bodies to be like my glorious body. The mortal will put on immortality, and in your flesh you shall see me with your own eyes. And I will dwell, I will live with you. You will be my people and I will be your God. Behold, I will wipe every tear from your eye, my beautiful, radiant, perfect, holy bride. The darkness is over. The dawn has come. There is no weeping, no mourning, no crying, no pain, no suffering, no sin. The old order of things has passed away. And the very thing that has plagued you, the very thing that has haunted you, the very thing that has marked you, this day is swallowed up in victory and marked for the weak, pathetic, powerless enemy that it is. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I tell you, on that day, at that moment, the heavens and earth will break forth, the mountains will sing in glory, and the heavens and earth will erupt with shouts of cries of victory, resounding from you, his saints, from angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. O death, where is your victory? O grave, where is your sting? Oh yeah, that's right. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that, brothers and sisters in Christ, is the end of the story. Amen.